Welcome to America's Hat. I'm Chris.
Welcome to Canada's Shorts. I'm Nathan.
And we're back.
Hi.
Welcome to
we're not introducing Narnia's you yet, poncho. Joel. Stop talking.
We're not to you yet, okay?
You're ruining everything.
I too wanted to land with a clothing attire.
Okay, so we are this is part of our big wrestling cross promoting podcast extravaganza. If you're listening to us from Classic Ring Attire, welcome.
Hi.
If you're one of our regular listeners, hi. And essentially what we've done here is Nathan joined us on Classic Ring Attire, so now we're on this podcast, and I brought in my Classic Ring Attire co-host, Joel.
Hi, that's me. The one who tried to talk earlier and was shot down.
Yes. We don't know what article of American clothing he is.
I want to be Narnia's poncho.
Okay, he's going to be Narnia's poncho.
Yeah, Narnia's poncho.
Why Narnia? are the two countries, like, put together equal Narnia? Is that a thing?
For Narnia.
For Narnia.
Chris, would you run like for you're president and I run for prime minister of Canada and we join the two countries? We're renaming it Narnia.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not a big Chronicles fan, but I'm okay with that.
You gotta get on that.
Then we'll rename our podcast Narnia's Poncho.
Narnia's Poncho, yeah.
No, Narnia's Poncho would be a nice little spinoff. starring Joel.
Just me in a room,
crying.
just rocking back.
If you were
and
a
forth,
country, what would you wear? Today on Narnia's Poncho, Bangkok socks.
So, we have joined together. We're not really going to do a whole lot of explaining this week. Not like our usual thing where one of us brings in a topic and we explain it. This one is just talking, you know.
This is a universal topic.
I feel like yeah,
loved by Canadians
like,
and Americans both.
Taken on, like, I'm outnumbered right now. I am one Canadian against two Americans currently.
I mean, USA.
Suck it up.
USA.
America.
USA.
It doesn't matter. One Canadian's worth five Americans.
A clever retort. Yeah, what now?
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's take a vote. Who's was better, me or him? Who votes for America?
I vote America.
Oh, look at that. It's 2-1.
Oh, look at that. Hey, you're
3-1.
3-0.
Oh, yeah. 3-0. I still gave him 2 votes.
It's you and your
damn
points.
I gave the Canadian 2 votes.
You're making good points
one
today, Joel. Stop it. That's funny. If
so,
you've seen listen to our other podcast. If not, go back and
see?
Listen to it. Yeah.
Eh.
Right.
So this week we are talking about the world of wrestling. Specifically, you know, how we all got into wrestling, you know, why we like it, why we still like it, what initially got us in, and what has sustained that interest. I guess I can just start off with myself, I guess, since I'm the one talking.
Go for it.
I mainly started because my best friend watched it. I was not allowed to watch this at my house because, you know, as I've stated in previous podcasts, my parents are pretty conservative and they cared a lot about what I watched on TV.
Do they know that you watch it now?
Yeah, and they hate it. they're surprised that I've made somewhat of a career out of it.
I know that feel, bro.
I mean, they're okay with it. They're just not thrilled.
This is not your closeted
secret. They're hoping that this leads to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know, but little do they know that this is going to be it forever for the rest of my life.
I hope you find a way to make money off of this, otherwise the rest of your life is going to suck.
Working on that.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
That's step 3, ?
Yes.
I've never
so
understood
was
that step. What's with the question marks? Is that just wait for result?
It's I know that step 1 is and 2 are what you are doing and what you want to do. And then step four is profit. And step three is the thing how nobody knows how to get to profit.
Okay. Yes. All right.
It's the step that we know is there, but we don't know what it consists of.
We know there is a step toward, somewhere there are steps to getting there. And we know the last step is profit, because that's our main goal.
Right.
We just don't know those steps yet.
Someone send
the cheesy answer, or our cheesy goal is to, you know, put forth a good product that a lot of people would enjoy. Yeah, we don't care about that. We want profit.
Yes.
We don't care about the audience. We just want them
to hold our high quality podcast hostage until they start paying.
So yes. So those of you that think that these podcasts are crappy, we know. Just you wait.
Start paying.
Exactly.
You'll get good podcasts.
Yeah. Give us mail us $5 and then we will actually make better podcasts the more and more you guys pay.
That, there
you
my go. Friends, so, is what Kickstarter is for.
Do you guys have Kickstarter in Canada?
We're not allowed to use it, I don't think. That might have changed recently, but there's something called Indiegogo, which we are allowed to, but if you're guys, Canadian,
and that's what I was about to say, because
you can't start a Kickstarter.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say, because Protest the Hero, yes. They're doing an Indiegogo, and they're from Canada.
Yeah, my friend tried to fund a movie, and my friends and I are currently trying to fund something else, and we weren't able to make a Kickstarter page. We had to use Indiegogo. Joel, you seem really interested in my story suddenly. You just leaned forward.
that's because the couch I'm sitting on is uncomfortable. I'm really interested in getting this a more comfortable sitting position for the next hour that we podcast.
Sure. But going back to
carry on with your wrestling story.
The story. My best friend, he was really big into Shawn Michaels, so you know, just the fact that I was watching it with my best friend all the time, I in turn turned into a Shawn Michaels fan, and that pretty much lasted all the way up to when he left from the injury. I would watch here and there, but I just couldn't get into it because I was such a big Shawn Michaels fan. That the fact that he wasn't there anymore, I just kind of lost interest. And that eventually, you know, picked up when I got into high school, thought I was too cool for it, so I definitely stopped watching then. And then, then there's the second half of my wrestling career, but we can save that story for later in the podcast. So essentially, it was, you know, my best friend, Shawn Michaels, got me into it when I would say about 7, 8.
Alright.
Yeah.
Go, Nathan.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Sorry, I was just used to the classy ring attire podcast we just did where it would go Chris, Joel, then me. I forgot that I was actually important.
Yeah, no.
This is more your show than
I'm a guest in your house now.
pretty much the exact same story as Chris, actually. My best friend Shane got me into wrestling right before John Cena showed up. So that gives you about a time frame. I don't remember exactly how old I would have been, but not that old.
That's 11, 12 years.
Yeah. And just like Chris, my mother was not pleased with it whatsoever, so I wasn't allowed to watch it at home. I had to watch it over at Shane's place. And then Cena showed up, and he became a huge Cena mark, and it was just disgusting. I've never liked John Cena. And then grade 7 came along. Shane stopped watching it for some reason. He still doesn't watch it anymore. Grade 7 came along, and I was getting mocked for watching it, and I'm like, I don't want to be made fun of, so I'm going to stop watching wrestling. And then in grade 12, right before grad, probably, actually at WrestleMania, like right leading up to the WrestleMania of my grade 12 year, I got really back into it because my friend Kevin said, hey, let's go to WrestleMania, and then I got back into it and didn't give a crap what anyone thought, because, hey, I'm going to be graduated, and I won't see half of you anymore.
Right. Which WrestleMania was that?
I'm going to sound so young. 27?
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
27?
It was,
With the Rock hosting?
Right before Edge retired.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty recent. That's more recent than me.
Yeah, that's more, yeah. Joel's a pretty fair recent convert. So.
I mean,
I'm not a
I mean, you know, you've been in wrestling longer.
Yeah. And like, I mean, like yeah, I said I before, have... DDP, Taker, and all that, they were the ones who got me into wrestling. And then coming back, right. I had CM Punk to latch on to, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you came in. Yeah, you came in right before that. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, well, we're just now.
Sorry. I'd watched Ring of Honor.
He said sorry.
I hate you so much. I watched Ring of Honor while during that time because I didn't really know anything about independent wrestling, and I made friends with some independent wrestlers up here in Edmonton. And I'd seen Ring of Honor, so I'd been following CM Punk for a while, even though I wasn't really following WWE, but nothing religiously.
Yeah. I have the similar story. Yeah, where you have like the two genesis into wrestling.
Yeah.
And it wasn't one kid. There was a kid named Tony in fourth and fifth grade who really liked it, and so I can attribute some memories of wrestling as a child to him. But it was really just, you know, I was there. That was around like 98, 99, 2000, which was just, you know, that big era of Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids were watching, and there were NWO shirts everywhere.
Yeah.
Stone Cold, you know, that 316 thing, which I had no idea what it meant, but there were shirts everywhere. And I'm not going to say, like, I got into wrestling at the time, because I don't think I saw a complete episode of anything, but there was, you know, it was so well known, and there was so much playing the video games. You know, kids would bring Game Boys, and I'd play Superstars on the Game Boy.
Right.
There was so much running around the playground, being like, I'd be this guy, you'd be that guy, that I did develop, like, I developed favorites, and I knew who these wrestlers were. There were several things that I never grasped until years later, actually going back. Like, I couldn't understand why Goldberg and Triple H would never fight, because I didn't understand how WCW and WWE were different things.
Yeah.
See, when I was getting into wrestling, I didn't even realize that WCW and WWE, that there were the two. I didn't even know the Monday Night Wars ever happened. I didn't know any of that was going on.
I honestly, like, I knew there were two different companies, but I thought they were WWF and NWO.
Oh, wow.
Like, I did not know, because nobody had the shirt that said WCW on it.
Right.
And WWF did a good brand of, you know, good marketing with that Scratch logo. So I saw that logo, and I saw the NWO logo on everything. But, you know, I couldn't concept. I always thought that WWF was going to win the wars between the two, because nobody could name me, like, when I would be like, what about Triple H? And what about the right? Like, every wrestler I named that, you know, we would play on the playground was a WWF wrestler, except for Goldberg.
Right.
And there was one kid, and he had a Goldberg backpack. And I was like, haha, kid, Goldberg's nothing.
Right.
You're NWO. I do remember, I very specifically remember The Rock becoming popular without me. Like, being like, yeah, we hate The Rock. And I was all ready to keep hating The Rock. And there's like, no, we like The Rock now. The Rock's amazing.
And you're just like, what? Like,
when did that happen?
Yeah.
That passed me by on the playground. So, I remember that. I remember a girl trying to do a book report on The Rock's biography in the fifth grade, because she was in love with The Rock.
Right.
And there being, like, she was, I remember her arguing with the teacher, trying to explain that this was a valid book for her to do her book report on.
Right.
So yeah, the formative years of my wrestling knowledge.
Did the teacher let her?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's because it's his genuine biography of Dwayne Johnson. So there's, you know, stuff. It's not a kayfabe story, so they're, you know, they're fine. It's a fifth grade book report too. They're not, you're not reading Faulkner and Ulysses there.
I don't know. Those Mick Foley books are pretty impressive.
They are pretty impressive. So anyway, that was, you know, a lot of formative. I do remember, it was probably like the eighth grade or so.
Mm-hmm.
I remember making a very conscious decision that, like, I could watch wrestling. You know, I know it's fake, but I could watch it and just enjoy the athleticism of it. I bet that's what people do.
Right.
You know, it was like this kind of self-dawning on me that, oh, you can know it's fake and still enjoy it.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I turned it on, and it was a Divas match.
Oh, God.
And I don't know what it was. I don't know who was fighting, but one girl was kicking another girl down to the ring, and she, like, whiffed a kick, and the girl rolled all on her own volition.
Oh, she sold it anyway?
Yeah, she sold that kick, and I was like, no, that is not acceptable. I cannot buy that, and I turned it off. And so that put my, like, big immersion into wrestling back another year. Right. Like, I came so close, like, sometime in the middle of eighth grade, and it was that one chance, and that one person whiffed a kick, and nope, dropped me as any kind of potential fan, until years later. And yeah, Chris...
And that's where we're gonna stop, because we're gonna do a timeline.
Alright, gonna go in timeline.
I'm stopping them there, because that's where I came in, and that's where I'm gonna talk about my, journey back into wrestling. My second year in college, here in America, we would call that sophomore. I don't know what you would call that.
Second
grade
year in college.
14?
No, second year in college.
Okay.
That's a mouthful. Sophomore.
Sophomore.
Two syllables.
Right?
America's efficient.
America is super efficient.
Anyway, sorry, I won't say anything.
He said sorry again.
He said sorry again.
Okay, I have a real quick Canadian question. Because, like, that's the joke of Canada, is, like,
sorry?
They apologize a lot and say sorry.
No, I can't. You cut out. I couldn't hear you. Sorry, what did you say?
Okay, that's like a big joke, at least, you know, Canadian stereotype in America, is that you say sorry a lot or, you know.
You apologize.
Very
or, yeah.
apologetic people.
For, you know, for a lot of things. And it's, that's just.
Yeah.
That's why Joel giggles.
There's worse stereotypes to have
right,
than
yeah.
being nice and apologetic.
Right.
But, you know, while I'm sure that's some true and some not true, do people comment to you a lot that
no.
you say, you know...
No, they don't.
Because you live with only other people who, you know, are also Canadian.
Yeah,
so.
Well, like, I don't know if you, if Americans do this too... But as you probably had noticed just recently, when I didn't really hear what you said, I said sorry instead of what. I don't know if you guys do that. Like, instead of saying what did you just say or what, I just said sorry. And normally if I said that to a Canadian, they would just automatically know to repeat what they were saying.
So sorry doesn't mean I apologize.
Sorry means what?
Sometimes.
So
if
Stone Cold was Canadian...
Like... I'm sorry I didn't mean to do that. Or, like, when I cut you off earlier, when I said sorry, I was saying I'm sorry I cut you off. I didn't mean to.
Right.
But you're saying that
in
if
America,
Stone Cold was Canadian, then we'd all be chanting sorry now.
No. No, I'm not saying that at all. Actually, maybe... No, but that would be really funny.
It would be.
Okay, during their America versus Canada feud with Bret Hart and Stone Cold... Why didn't Bret Hart then try and start a sorry chant?
Because he wasn't thinking,
know,
obviously.
Wasted opportunity, 1996. Jeez.
Dang it, when I was 3, how dare you?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, my journey back into wrestling. Sophomore year in college, beginning of my second semester that year.
Really? Was it that? Okay.
Yeah, because it was... I'd heard that the WrestleMania that year was going to be Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship against John Cena. And I was kind of taken aback because I thought for sure Shawn Michaels was, you know, done with wrestling forever. You know,
yeah.
I just assumed he was never going to come back. And because I hadn't heard that he came back, you know... In what 2002 or whenever he did
whenever
come
he
back.
Came back,
yeah, I that was all those years that I just didn't even pay attention. So I thought it was a bit odd, and I also saw this whole thing with Trump and with Vince McMahon. So I checked out WrestleMania that year, and I was like, okay, I'll watch Raw the next day, and I thought the WrestleMania was fine. It was fun. The next night, or it was a couple of nights from that, because they were in London, and John Cena and Shawn Michaels, they had a match for the WWE Championship that lasted 3 commercial breaks, and it went a full hour, and it was a really good match for both of those guys, and that's just what kind of hooked me for a sec, because it's like what Joel was saying, like, I could watch it just for the appreciation of the athleticism and all of it all. And that match just really, you know, it struck a chord with me. So I've been stuck with it ever since. And I got made fun of by a few people that lived in the dorm, including my roommate. All of the roommates I've had have all made fun of me. And eventually I got this guy over here, Joel. I got him to watch it. And Joel, you wanna cut in a little bit on that?
Okay. I guess we were just playing video games in your room. We must have just been like playing Halo or something on a Monday night.
If it was just me and you, it was probably we were probably playing Battlefront.
We might have been playing Battlefront.
Yeah, we were probably playing Battlefront.
Well, I'm sure. See, the thing is, I know that your roommate Jason was there. I think some other people were there because I don't think it was my turn.
Oh, okay.
I had to hand off the controller. You know, wrestling was on, and I'm sure I was making fun of you at the time.
That's what it was. Yes. You guys were playing.
Yeah.
I was watching wrestling in the background.
Yeah.
And you're all making fun of me.
Yeah.
All of you. You.
No, I was.
Neil, John. Jason, probably Zane too.
I am totally sure. I just, you know.
Yeah.
But I was watching, and Bret Hart was on. And that was very much, I was like, wait a minute.
No, they were saying that Bret Hart's going to be on next week.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They were announcing it.
They were announcing that Bret Hart would be on next week. This was right before, I guess that was WrestleMania 26.
Yes. Right?
So, one of the things that I remembered and had, like, gleaned from my years of pseudo-knowing about wrestling was about the Montreal Screwjob and how much of a falling out that was and how Bret Hart had left WWF for NWO. I thought it was NWO at the time.
Because you thought he was going to NWO because you thought NWO was the company.
Was the other company, yeah. But that was really interesting.
How things actually went, if that's what NWO was.
I mean, well, if we were to believe that the NWO storyline, then it wasn't that far fetched of an idea.
That is true.
We were supposed to believe that NWO was its own entity.
WCW takeover, except not having the WWE.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's I'm believing some kayfabe at, you know, the tender age of whatever I was. So that's not totally out of the question.
No, not at all.
How dare you believe wrestling is real when you're young and innocent and stuff.
But, you know, so that hooked my interest. I was like, wait, I thought, da da da. And so Chris gave, like, a maybe 30-second, minute-long crash course in the Montreal Screwjob.
Right. I gave you a quick explanation of it.
It sounded so bizarrely far-fetched and impossible that I basically just researched the Montreal Screwjob specifically.
Right, like, because I remember you talked to me a couple days after. I don't know if it was the next day or a couple days later, but you all of a sudden knew everything that there was to know about the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
Because you just spent, like, an entire night.
Oh, no.
Probably on a school night when we probably should have been doing some other stuff.
I had stuff due in class the next day that I had to... I almost missed. I had to stay up late to do it. Because I basically Wikipedia'd myself back into wrestling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's all those links. I was like, oh, what's this guy doing? And Wikipedia, like, if you ever try and Wikipedia wrestling stuff, it's this weird pseudo real life fictional mashup because it has, you know, all the real facts about the people.
Yeah.
But it has, you know, their win loss records at WrestleMania. You know, it has the stuff that also exists in storyline. And because that's a big thing of Montreal Screwjob, what interested me about it is like what was real and turned into storyline and what was
storyline that ended up being real.
Yeah, so all of that, and then all of this stuff about these wrestlers, and this stuff was real, and this stuff was not, and a lot of, and there was a lot of, like, these memories from being, you know, in the fourth and fifth grade that I could easily have looked up at any point, but had never really gotten around to it.
Yeah.
So I looked, you know, I was like, oh, I remember people saying stuff, and... You know, I could go and, like, watch these YouTube videos of these promos that kids were imitating, that I remember kids imitating on the playground back then. I learned that Suck It came from WWE, you know?
You had no idea.
No, I thought that was something a girl named Lillian made up in theater class in 10th grade. Because, I mean, the Suck It and the crotch chop and everything, like, she would do that in the middle of a play. And I was like, that's funny because it's, I get it. I'm like, oh, she totally stole that from DX. So yeah, I went from 0 to 60 on fandom in like a big bad way.
And see,
that
was the thing, like, you showed up in my dorm room that next Monday night, and I, from what I understand, you were more of like, I'm going to watch this just because out of interest. And as far as you were concerned, you were only going to really watch if that whole Bret Hart Vince McMahon thing was going on.
Yeah.
After that, you were pretty much having the mindset that you probably wouldn't watch it after that.
No, I wouldn't watch it after that, and I'd be playing video games when anybody I didn't care about was on.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and anybody I didn't care about pretty much included anybody that wasn't wrestling 10 years earlier. So like Batista and Randy Orton, who are, you know, big names and stuff. I was like, no, they were not.
They're not people that you recognize.
Nobody wanted to be Batista on the playground, so yeah, I did not care about those names.
And then
if you don't want to be Batista when we're playing in the sand park, then you're not allowed to like him.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, I was like,
yeah,
I didn't have any, like, when John Cena came out, I was like, who is that? And Chris had to be, that's basically today's Hulk Hogan. That's, you know,
yeah,
that's the big top face of the company in this. But that, you know, that's the thing is, like, I was like, yeah, definitely, because we're into WrestleMania, we're leading into WrestleMania. I guess we had Elimination Chamber still to go. This was like right after Royal Rumble, because Edge had come back.
Right.
So yeah, we were leading into WrestleMania, but I was like, that's obviously when this is gonna end, whatever this is. So I'm gonna watch till WrestleMania, and I'll, you know, carry on with my life.
And then it kind of kept going a little bit, and you're just like, oh, this is still going, you know?
Well, the thing is, like, I did, like, I ended up getting invested in these stories because they were on at the same time, which is why, you know, to this day, I can't, as much as I don't like it personally, I can't fault or disagree with the business decisions of really pushing The Rock and John Cena.
Right.
Because it's a, you know, it was a guy from 10 years ago being a part-time coming back that totally got me hooked.
Right.
And, you know, they've now earned X amount of dollars from me from buying Raw tickets and buying DVDs, you know, and buying pay-per-views and watching their show every
week. Just because you saw that one guy that you remember from 10 years
ago. Yeah, because they brought... I mean, it's the storyline, but yeah, it's that one thing came out. I was like, so... As much as I'm like, I complain about The Rock, but I'm like, I totally get it.
Right, because it's the same thing that hooked you.
Yeah, I mean, and I can go to anybody at work. I can go to anybody at, you know, just around the town that's my age and be like, did you know The Rock is WWE champion right now? And the reaction would be, what, really? You know,
yeah.
Even if it's not, that's cool and I'm excited, it's not the you watch wrestling reaction that I would get if I mentioned any other wrestler's name.
Right.
So, that's, I get it.
Yeah. So that was basically your in.
Yeah.
And it slowly...
You were my friend that my parents didn't approve of.
Fair enough. I went full circle. And then slowly you became more and more of a fan to the point where Monday nights, I think I remember you having, you know, other things to do.
Yeah.
But you would hurry back to my room because I had a TV.
Yeah.
And we would sit in my room and watch. And slowly, we would get more and more of our friends.
Yeah, I was gonna watch alone. I don't know what you did that for.
Just because I was interested in it. And I, you know, what else is it going to do on a Monday night, you know?
Get your friends interested.
Exactly. I got my friends interested.
You got me interested.
Oh, you got us interested, and then we sort of, like, stuff would happen. We would laugh and have fun or whatever. Other people kind of want to join in. They would basically started watching it just to make fun of it. And next thing you knew, they were interested as well.
Yeah.
You know? And so slowly, like, those same people that were making fun of me for watching it, all of a sudden were just as invested as I was. So that was fun. And then there was also plenty of Monday nights where it was just me and Joel would just fall asleep in the most awkward positions in that little dorm chair.
God, I hate those like chairs.
And that's why sort of romantic, like, story. It'd just be the two of us, and he'd fall asleep, and it would just be...
Okay, I brought up the him falling asleep thing because we have a theory about Joel falling asleep in the same room as people.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that, that's how I got a girlfriend later that year.
There's this phenomenon that if I fall asleep and you're in the same room, you will then get a girlfriend.
Very soon afterwards.
Yes.
Your freshman year and fall asleep and... like around me. So
well,
that
you're making the trip down here.
I should literally charge for this.
You probably should.
I don't know if you said anything because I'm getting ridiculous lag right now. So
okay, basically, yeah, my freshman year, my roommate had a girlfriend, so that's fine. Blah blah. I had the same roommate my second year of college. He had broken up with his girlfriend. For over the summer,
mm-hmm.
He was single for all of 3 hours that college. He was single all summer long, and then 3 hours into college,
yeah,
we had the same room. Boom, he had a girlfriend. My next roommate, same thing.
It was a different guy, and he was
single. He was single all of last year, and then he's my roommate. 2 days later,
he had a girlfriend. It was that year after he got in wrestling. Watching it at my dorm, and there were some more slower parts of Raw, so Joel would pass out.
And fall asleep, I was tired.
He would fall asleep. And I don't know about days later, but at least within a few months,
yeah,
I had a girlfriend for like a year and a half. And then Joel stopped sleeping in the same room I was in, and I guess that's what caused me not to be in a relationship anymore. So I blame you.
Never mind, I suddenly don't want Joel to be my good luck charm, because as soon as he starts sleeping in the same room as I do, I lose the girlfriend. It just, that makes everything pointless.
Apparently
well,
so.
Well, no, because the first two, they're still together.
Yeah, they're going on 5 years.
Yeah.
Sam and Megan are on 5 years.
Sam and Megan are still together. John and Alyssa, your second roommate, they're still together. It's just my bad luck.
Oh, we also credit Logan and Aaron to me.
Yeah, Logan and Aaron. When did that happen? Oh, you're just all the time.
I don't remember.
Joel falls asleep.
when people get girlfriends, they trace back when last time they were in my sleeping presence.
Right.
And it's always actually pretty recent.
And I'm pretty sure that was one time you did fall asleep when it was just me and Neil. And then Neil had a short thing.
Neil had a short thing.
It was quick. And then not the more recent one.
Jason?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were all hanging out here at my place. Joel needed a ride back home at the end of the night. So when our friend Jason left, took Joel with him. And we're talking a car ride of what, maybe 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Within the 5 minutes in that car, Joel passed out. That very next week, Jason had a girlfriend. Not even kidding.
This is a chartable phenomenon.
This is like, yeah, this is, that's at least, one, two, three, that's six cases to support it.
Crazy. Here's
I'm pretty, well, no, John, no, I was trying to say John, but he was already.
Okay, here's the thing. John had a girlfriend for 6 years, then moved in with me, got married.
But they were already engaged before that.
They were already engaged
way before you moved in.
They were already engaged.
Yeah.
So.
Still, the point is, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah. I would like to take credit for that one, too. Why not?
So, I'm guessing whenever you're here in Greensboro, I think we should probably have a sleepover. Just so you can have some of the
yay slumber party.
Get some
party.
Of the mojo. Woo! You gotta sleep with a guy to get a girl.
It's like a, it's like the reverse of that really bad Dane Cook movie.
Oh yeah. Good luck, Chad.
Mom, if you're listening to this right now, I am not sleeping with a man. Don't worry about it.
Sleeping in general proximity too, but not necessarily adjacent.
Oh, that happened. College was fun, you guys.
Yeah.
College was fun.
So, yeah, do you guys have college like we have college?
What?
I don't get why that's so funny.
What is that?
Oh, we need to have Joel on the show so much more so we can ask questions like that.
I totally get that you have college.
You remember, okay, Nathan, you remember
I read you that list?
We
stop after high school and everyone's expected
No, I didn't ask if you have college. I asked if you have college like the big American colleges like Animal House, American Pie, blah de blah.
Oh, no, like, definitely not, no.
You don't have, like, frat parties and togaths and
those are
Di Delta Gammas?
They're not as big. Like, there are frats.
You have Red Solo
and,
Cups?
Like, other, and, like, fraternities and all that. But they're not really that big. Like, I can't name any of them. I know there's one frat house at the University of Alberta campus. But they're not really anything other than a house that has a bunch of Greek symbols on it.
Alright. See, it's a good question.
You, okay, Nathan, you remember when we first started, I read you a list, and half of that stuff was just the most preposterous, insulting thing ever. Those were the ones that Joel came up with.
Yeah, I figured mostly. As much, yeah.
The one about the, I think you asked about the toilets?
Yeah, no, what the hell was with the toilets?
I didn't ask about I asked about fan death.
The fan death, that's the one Joel wanted to know about, and I had no, I couldn't even remember what. Let's go ahead and bring that up since we're all here.
It's not a Canadian thing.
Well, you made it sound like it was.
It just came up in the same conversation where we were talking about like odd cultural stereotypes.
What? Go on.
I think it's a Korean thing. It's one.
Just go on.
It's somewhere in Asia. There's a fear that if you have an electric fan on in the same room while you're sleeping, the fan will use up all the oxygen and you will suffocate.
Because of the altitude?
No, because the fan uses up the oxygen.
Why would they be afraid of oxygen running out?
That's not a Canadian thing whatsoever, for the record.
I didn't think it was.
But yet you told me to put it on the list anyway.
I don't think that's true.
Yes, you did.
I am not vouching for... I will vouch that fan death is a thing. If you look up fan death, it will explain it. But I'm not vouching that I think it's a Canadian thing.
But so, I'm pretty sure you asked about the toilets, too.
I don't know what the toilets thing
is.
Yeah,
it was something like a Canadian thing.
You don't have toilets?
Oh, God, Joel. No, the toilet thing was they, in the U.S., they regulated like how much toilet water can be, like, in your bowl. Yeah, I still blame the toilet bowl subject on Joel, even though it might not be him.
I reject your blame.
I don't know. Now that I think about it, that subject kind of sounds like a Neil subject.
Why would I know about toilet bowl regulations? You know that Neil knows about toilet bowl regulations.
Neil would know about toilet bowl regulations. He
Who's
knows
this
all
Neil
the
person?
Crap. I'm pretty sure you'll meet him eventually.
Neil's amazing.
Neil's fantastic.
And I'm not just saying that because I want him to edit this episode.
Is there anything other about wrestling that we need?
Okay.
Or general Canadian-American questions?
Okay, I've...
Okay, I wanted to point out, it's actually really funny. Yeah, we were both... Well, you and I, Chris, were talking about how our parents... Well, our mothers, at least, weren't overly fond of us being into wrestling. When my mom was really into wrestling when she was younger, like Stampede wrestling especially, like apparently she cut Bret Hart's hair and like all the Stampede wrestlers' hair when they were doing Stampede wrestling before WWF.
Right.
I just thought that was really weird.
Is Stampede like the big, like, Canadian territory?
Yeah, that's the one that Stu Hart ran.
Yeah, like it sounds familiar. So, like, I'm sure I've heard about it on a documentary.
It's not a thing anymore. It hasn't been a thing for like 10, 15, 20 years. But
right, yeah. No, right now
the biggest territory is a group called PWA. And RCW, yeah. Real Canadian Wrestling. They're the two biggest ones.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Like I did eventually have to let my parents know that I watch wrestling now. And it was over
my
spring break or something.
My mom watches it sometimes now, too. So it's really just, like, I don't understand what the problem was then, but whatever.
Yeah. No, my mom started watching it, like, started being in the room with, you know, just doing stuff when I was watching it. And I had to, like, start taking down notes of like things that she would comment on. So
yeah, you ran a Twitter account.
I ran a Twitter account for a while. Some mom watches wrestling or something.
Yeah.
So, but then I moved out, and so I don't. You know, mom doesn't have to sit through Raw all the time.
She probably still does. She just doesn't like to admit it.
She probably doesn't. There's probably no way that my mom watches wrestling. So.
Joel, you said you had some questions or
something. One just generic Canadian one and one more specifically wrestling Canadian one. So I'm when I am thinking of Canadian wrestlers, the big ones that come to mind are obviously the Hart family and Chris Jericho, and then
Edge
and Christian.
You completely skip past one of the best ever.
I think I know which one he's going to talk about.
Who?
You're going to talk about Jinder Mahal.
No, I was
He is Canadian, isn't he?
I was going to talk about Chris Benoit.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know he was Canadian.
He's from my hometown.
Like, I totally might have heard of it at one point.
They billed him from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, but he was from where I grew up, the small, crappy town I grew up in. Well, he would lived there for a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, we have the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, Hardy Boys is from our area.
Yeah.
Nice.
And R-Truth is from
Charlotte.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever Jeff Hardy had his latest thing, his latest arrest.
Yeah.
Like, after the whole TNA thing, he had to come back to Raleigh.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was like, oh, there's Jeff Hardy's, like, trial happening.
Yeah.
So, but... Like, I'm trying to. There was that thing where Brett was like a face in Canada and then a heel everywhere else.
Right.
And that was like.
That was what, the last year?
Yeah.
That he was with WWF before he left?
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I can think of that a wrestler was really patriotic for Canada. And so I'm curious if there is more patriotic for Canada wrestling, like, aimed at towards Canada. Like,
no.
To be fair, most patriotic American wrestling is heels right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do you have
Swagger?
Swagger's the big one. But Cesaro is being pretty American.
Well, right now. He's trying to.
I mean, yeah, it's,
make the case that he's better than America, then America needs to be more like him.
Well, but he comes out waving like an American.
I'd actually beg to differ that Antonio Cesaro is trying to make the point that America was a once great. I'm not saying that I believe this, for the record. Was like this once great thing, and it should go back to being that, and not being stupid and Jersey Shore and Honey Boo Boo and all that crap.
Right.
I think that's more what he's saying, less of that he's better than him. I mean, obviously he's saying that, but I think his main point is that America has the potential for greatness, but is falling so deep
into a
hole.
That, oh yeah, that America the idea is better than America the place.
Yes, right. That's exactly what he's saying.
But he's, you know, but he's doing it in a heelish manner.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't, you know, and. And Bret Hart was kind of, his Yay Canada attitude was viewed as heelish tactics in America. Because, but, you know, that was the thing. And I guess,
It must have been Wrestling with Shadows I was watching this on, where they were talking about this was an interesting and somewhat difficult thing to do when with a fairly global audience watching Raw at this point, to be a heel in America and a face everywhere else.
Yeah.
The only other person who I can think of that I don't really know, because I never really watched him while he was in WWE, but the only other person that I think can think of that I think might have been a heel, but also was really patriotic for Canada, was Lance Storm.
Yeah. I'm right in that boat. Like, I really wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
I know the guy, but I don't know his... Like, I know the guy, I know Lance, but I don't know his wrestling career that well.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
Is there a Mountie wrestler?
No.
A Mountie wrestler?
Never?
Never?
Not that I'm aware of.
Especially, like during, like, Honky Tonk Man era, and, like,
if there was one, it probably would have been closer to Ontario, which is the complete opposite side of the country from where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I knew there was the Goon, the hockey player.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that the Mountie that I could think of that would really be would be Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
He'd pretty much be the exact same character, but Canadian.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there was that time frame where, like, the concept was that these guys all had side jobs and did just, like, wrestle for passion.
Yeah.
Basically. And so, yeah.
Everyone had this other job. Right.
Yeah.
That they based their wrestling career off of.
So I thought... And I'm really surprised one of those wasn't a Mountie at one point, because it's just a big, you know...
It sounds like something silly that WWE would try to pull off.
Yeah, so, like, I totally might be pulling this from, like, a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Probably.
But I did think it was a Mountie at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, here's my other Canadian question.
Okay.
When you go on the internet... and you go
where
to a website,
is this like, going?
When you go to a website like eBay or something, do you type ebay.com or do you type ebay.ca?
Well, I don't really use eBay, but if you do go to ebay.com, it automatically redirects you to .ca. I do, when I'm typing in Google, go on to google.ca instead of .com. But again, the same thing will happen. If you type in .com, it'll automatically redirect you to .ca if you're in Canada, if you have a Canadian IP address.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, see?
Never would have thought about that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I wanted the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, so I went to ebay.uk so I could get, because there'd be UK people.
Philosopher instead of sorcerer?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But the shipping was astronomical.
That was just stupid. Like, honestly, why do you think that Americans don't understand what a philosopher is? Like, the Sorcerer's Stone isn't a thing. The Philosopher's Stone is a thing. Sorcerers and philosophers are two completely different things.
I totally did not know what a philosopher was, though, until... What the Philosopher's Stone was until Harry Potter.
I'm a hardcore fantasy nerd, so... That's a thing that I know.
Yeah, but Harry Potter also came out when I was, like, 10. So,
yeah,
you know. Same here. Harry Potter came out when I was very young.
I do have a book, though, that's Indiana Jones and the Philosopher's Stone, which is a prequel book to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's weird, and I don't know how I feel about that.
It came out before Harry Potter. Like,
no, I know. I realize that, but I still don't know how I feel about it.
It's, like, it's only weird now in retrospect.
Right. Yeah.
So there's, like, a whole little prequel series that was, like, Indiana Jones and the Curse of the Sphinx and Indiana Jones and the Dinosaur's Egg, Indiana Jones and the Philosopher's Stone. And so now it's
you own the most random stuff.
I own the most amazing stuff.
You own the most random stuff, and it's usually stuff that you've never even, like, stuff you've never read, movies you'll never watch.
I have read all of those except for the Curse of the Sphinx.
Okay, well, fine, whatever. You still have tons of movies that you bought for, you know, 50 cents that still has the plastic.
Yeah. I do not see a problem with this.
I don't see a problem with it either.
He goes to these places and he, you know, he sees some movies that are for $1, and so you get, like, $200 of them.
Okay.
And then you never watch any of them.
I might someday.
Okay, yeah, that I see a problem with.
See?
I'm not actively avoiding watching them, and I've watched some of them. It takes a while to watch 200 movies. You can't just do that in an afternoon. You can't just bang it out. Like, oh, here we go, wow. 200 movies done.
I mean, I have my slow days.
Have you seen everything you own?
Yes, definitely.
How many movies do you own?
A lot.
If you can count them all right now, that's not enough.
Well, I can only see one of the, like, three bookshelves we have DVDs on currently from where I'm sitting, so no, I can't count them right now.
Okay. But you've seen every single DVD you own?
Yes, definitely. I buy them and then I watch them to make sure there's no, manufacturing errors so I don't have to return it to get a new copy.
Oh, I totally might have manufacturer errors.
Don't you dare ask me that question.
What, have you seen everything you own? Have you not?
There's one freaking movie that I bought a while back. No, two. Because I was like, I'm going to watch these at some point. And I haven't even opened them out. The package has been over a year.
That's right.
It was Book of Eli and The American.
Other than that, Book of Eli. That was an enjoyable movie. The plot twist was kind of obvious. I have not seen The American. Oh, no, The American's the George Clooney movie. That was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
How much did you pay for The American?
Like $5.
I paid $2. I haven't seen it, and I own it. So we are in the same boat, except I'm $3 richer.
You did give me a movie.
I did.
That I specifically asked for. How much did you pay for that? I
paid $1 for that movie.
Paid $1 for Donkey Punch.
To be fair, that's the second copy of Donkey Punch I bought.
You bought two copies of... Yeah, that's right.
Because I got rid of the first one. I don't want a copy of Donkey Punch.
Where did you just gave that off to a friend?
I traded it for our Star Wars Clone Wars Volume 2.
That's a decent trade.
That's a decent trade.
That's a big trade up.
Yeah.
That's an upgrade.
No, I was very pleased
with that. Anyone listening to this, we will not explain what is in the movie Donkey Punch.
Yeah, no, I'd rather we didn't. Go, I'd rather we just ignored that we even talked about the go movie Donkey Google Punch.
It because if we Yeah, if we explain it, we would lose. We would definitely get an explicit tag.
It is proper hardcore.
It is proper hardcore. That's all I'll say. Oh, dear
Lord. Whoa. Does this mean that you read Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone as a Canadian?
Yeah. One second.
I'm totally going to go to ebay.ca.
I think he's going to go show us a copy.
I'm going to get
ebay. We're still going to be recording. Right now, we're waiting on Nathan to return. Still gone.
No, my point is, like, I can go to ebay.ca and get it without the crazy, because I never got one from the UK.
I've had this copy of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone my entire life.
That's the copy that I want! Oh, yeah, no, I'm gonna go order it from Canada, then.
I've had this copy since the book came out. This is a first edition Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got it from Canada, right?
Yeah, I got it from Chapters, which is our Barnes & Noble.
How's that working out for you? Because Barnes & Noble's apparently looking at some hard times ahead.
Chapters is doing amazingly well right now. They are making some of the most money they've made in decades, actually.
Wow.
How are they doing that?
Because Canada's better than the States.
Because they read?
They read?
Exactly, because they don't adapt.
Because they don't adapt to Kindle?
No, okay, first off, Kindle is a piece of crap. The Chapters made Kobo is fantastic. And I also hate ebooks. Like, I despise them.
I adore ebooks. And I was all in your boat until I got a Kindle, and then I switched camps gloriously. It's amazing, and I'll never look back.
The only reason I'll ever buy a Kobo will be if I ever get a job where I'm traveling on the plane a lot. Otherwise, I have no reason to buy an ebook ever. E-reader.
I mean, I still like books. I'm not against books, but the Kindle, it's so convenient, and it's so light, and it works wonderfully. And it feels like I'm reading. That was the big thing. I was like, it's going to feel like I'm looking at a computer screen. And it doesn't. So.
Yeah. I just have books. But that's mostly because I don't read that much. And having an e-reader just seems like I would be wasting my own money. So I wouldn't use it.
Joel, if you want, when I come down there in July, I can just buy a copy of Philosopher's Stone and bring it down for you.
Please do. Absolutely.
It's been so long since I've seen Joel that wide-eyed.
I really want a copy of Philosopher's Stone.
I can't guarantee it'll be hardcover.
What was that?
He can't guarantee hardcover.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I want one anyway, yeah.
Okay. I'll continue my question. I can probably get it in hardcover, but I don't know if they'll... They kind of go back and forth between whether they're wanting to publish Harry Potter in hardcover or not, and it's really annoying. So sometimes there's copies in hardcover, sometimes there aren't, but I'll grab you one and when I come down.
That'll be awesome.
I think you just made a best friend.
Best day ever. Well, the thing is, like, I really like that series that book's from. I really like that book art. Like, I really like the book art from the American ones as well.
Right.
But I did the Horde stuff, so...
Do you want me to just buy you the box set and you pay me back so you can have all of the proper art for it?
I mean, I might want to do that, too.
Because those will be all hardcover books.
Yeah, I really like that.
That is true, yeah.
That, and all that. In England, they had specific, like, geared toward adult books.
They have those in Canada, too.
Really good art.
We have those as well.
With, like, the train, like, the photograph of the train on the first one.
We have those as well, and they're black covers with just this photo of something.
Okay, Canada has better books than us. Because Canada got the British editions, basically.
Right, yeah.
That's because we're England.
Yeah.
So, the Sorcerer's Stone was just America, then?
Yeah.
Like, they only
America
made that change for America?
America is the only country that got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
So we're saying that, like, there's probably somebody in UK that's like, I really want to get a copy of the Sorcerer's Stone, just like Joel's like really wanting a copy of Philosopher.
I don't know, maybe.
Probably. It probably is. Actually, I highly
just because from where they are, it's just rare over there, just like it's rare to get the Sorcerer's Stone down here.
Yeah, I guess. That would make sense.
I did get a copy of the movie, Philosopher's Stone. So, the DVD.
Chris, so. I remember lot you wanted to talk about Canadian wrestlers who aren't billed from Canada. This seems like a pretty good time to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the very obvious... tail end of this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, the very obvious one right now is Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal, obviously, from Calgary, not from Punjab, speaks fluent English. He does not have
a Punjabi accent,
and it really bothers me that they make him pretend.
Because I don't think, when he first started, I don't think he had an accent.
Nope.
When he first started with WWE.
No, he did not, and then they made him start having one.
That was... I feel really bad for that guy.
Yeah, Raj is a great
person. He got
person.
Saddled with some pretty... Yeah, and from what you've told me about, you know, him wrestling up in Canada and... Your reaction to it, he sounds like he was so much more awesome.
He was
when
the
he wasn't
champion
with
for
all these
like
terrible
a year
characters.
And a half, almost 2 years at one point. Yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
Wow.
Like, and then he got saddled to be like Kane to Great Khali's Undertaker.
Yeah.
But it's like, but Great Khali's Undertaker.
Yeah. That was a pretty bad time.
Yeah.
And, it's a shame, you know, because I myself, I don't like Jinder Mahal, but that's just based off what I've seen.
Yeah.
Had they presented him in a different light, I probably would.
Yeah, that's the situation. That's Jinder Mahal's fault. That's not Jinder Mahal's fault.
Right, that was what they threw onto him. Just because he's of a certain ethnicity.
And the really interesting thing about that is his character... before Three Man Band happened, his character leading up to that worked really, really well in NXT, but did not work on Raw or SmackDown.
Right.
Was that the one that kept the turban in the box?
Yeah, that was weird, and I don't understand that.
Me neither. And it also made Jerry say some really bad jokes.
Yeah.
Not like bad offensive, but just bad as in quality.
Oh.
Well, it's perfect.
So that's another one that's pretty obvious is Santino Marella. He's Canadian.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that. I always forget that.
He's from Toronto, I think. Or Scarborough. Uh-huh. I actually think he's from Scarborough.
Huh. I do remember back in his independent days, I believe he was... He was billed from Russia.
Really?
For a small period of time. That's really funny. And then they did the whole Miracle in Milan thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Rosa Mendez, also Canadian.
Yeah, she's from Canada. Yeah, I know that. And she speaks very terrible Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't gotten any better. Has not gotten any better at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of take their nationalities at face value with what they tell me.
Yeah, I did too. Oh, yeah. until I saw Jinder Mahal be billed from Punjab, and then I'm like, wait, what? Huh? It was really
right.
Odd. Yeah.
And if I'm correct, there's a wrestler on NXT right now, blonde hair. They're billing him from Florida. He's also from Calgary. I can't think of his name, though.
Right. Hmm. I'd probably know if I was on, but yeah.
He's interesting, though.
Yeah, he was trained by Lance Storm in his wrestling school.
Hmm.
Well, I feel like everybody that ever had any association with the Dungeon gets a Canadian billing, because they want to bring up that they were trained in the Dungeon.
Right.
But they can't really do that anymore, considering the Dungeon doesn't exist.
Well, yeah. But, you know, that's like Tyson Kidd will be the last one they could do that with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just laughed at this. I forgot, you guys will probably get a kick out of this. I just minimized my window, and my current desktop background on rotation has Alberto Del Rio doing his hand thing. But he's has poorly photoshopped onto his face the Bret Hart glasses. And it says, the caption is the Mexicans of Mexicution.
Well then.
Right on, right on. On that note, it's time for us to wrap this whole thing up. Nathan, why don't you tell them where they can follow you on Twitter?
Follow me on Twitter at Nate, N-A-I-T, 93. You can find me on Tumblr at thedorknightrises, .tumblr.com. And
wow, you got that?
That's it.
Nice.
Chris?
For me, you can follow me on my personal account. That's at CWSanders39. Or you can, and you probably should do this, follow our wrestling podcast. That is at CR Tire. We do live tweets of all the wrestling shows, and we're wanting to really build up an audience for WrestleMania, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Both me and Joel are going to be on it that night.
I'll be live tweeting WrestleMania from Nate93, so I'll be doing that too.
So, and I'm pretty sure we'll be. Running into each other a lot on WrestleMania night.
Yeah, WrestleMania will be a big, big deal.
It'll be a big, big deal. Joel, you got anything you want to pimp?
I want to reiterate CR Attire. Although I don't tweet as adamantly as Chris, you can follow me at Joel G L E O.
And so that pretty much wraps it up for here. This has been America's Hat.
This has been Canada's Shorts.
For Narnia.
For Narnia. Have a good week.
Bye, guys.